Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about when what you look like on the outside doesn't match your wellness on the inside. Sit back, relax. We'll be right back after this quick break. Hello, Char.
Hello, Les.
How are you?
Feeling a little bit of frustration in my body.
Same. I did not think this episode was going to happen.
Neither did I. So we just had maybe 25 minutes of connectivity issues. And we ultimately decided just to record our audio via Zoom. So if you notice the audio quality not matching our previous episodes, we apologize in advance. Although I think it will be fine, but we just wanted to give that disclaimer in case things sound a little funky.
Yeah, we really gave it a go, but the recording platform that we generally use to record the pod was just not working right today. So hopefully by the time we sit down for our next episode, it will be remedied, but I'm happy to be here.
Same. And we were not going to let this episode not be recorded today because we're both in the zone.
Yeah, we're ready. We're here. We had our chats about it and it's going to be great.
It is. So today we really wanted to dive in and talk about what it means and what it feels like and what it looks like when your physical appearance doesn't necessarily match your well-being on the inside.
Yeah. I know we gave a little bit of a teaser in our intro on our, you know, we're back episode about some of the health things that you've been navigating since we took our hiatus. And I think that this message definitely holds true for you because I think that especially this past like 6 months, maybe even longer, somebody could easily look at you and have no idea that you're struggling with some health things on the inside. So I think this is like such a good reminder and it's such an important thing to talk about. I mean, it's literally like as an English teacher, right? It's literally the message of like, don't judge a book by its cover, right? And like, we just don't truly know what people are navigating on a day-to-day basis health-wise.
Absolutely. So I've definitely talked about this before on the podcast, but I have a condition called familial hypercholesterolemia, which is a really fancy way, a really big worded way of saying genetically high cholesterol. And somebody with this condition, just by looking at them, you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell that inside their body is producing really excess levels of LDL cholesterol, which people refer to as the bad cholesterol, which is the type of cholesterol that clogs your arteries and can lead to heart attack or stroke. So from the outside, I mean, I like to think of myself as someone who's active and glowing and I have a lot of energy. Like from the outside, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, that girl is healthy. Mm-hmm. But my genetics, they decrease my lifespan by 15 to 30 years if I'm not treating this, which is really crazy to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know you and I have talked about this before. It's like, you feel like you're in a battle with your genetics.
Yep.
And that can, you know, talk about feeling frustration in your body. That can be so, I can't imagine how frustrating that can be because you feel like you do have this vibrancy about you and you really do. I'm sure that so many people look at you on the surface and people who don't know you. I mean, honestly, you are so transparent and you have done so much sharing and spreading awareness for FH, which is incredible. I think a lot of people do know now, but it can still be so easy to forget like the fear and the maintenance and how much your condition can literally consume your days.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this condition, like I said, it requires treatment, but it requires having a really good team of doctors. And I've only had the diagnosis for 13 years, but I've had this condition since I was born, since I was zero. But the team of doctors that I've had, it's taken a while to cultivate. And I've had providers before look at me and say, your high cholesterol is because you don't exercise. Meanwhile, I'm petite and it looks like I exercise even if I don't. But telling me that, you know, it's your fault. And maybe if you just lost some weight, your cholesterol would be lower. And so these are well-rated doctors. This one of them was a New York City cardiologist with really great reviews who pinched my fat, which was tiny when I was 17 years old, and said, you have to lose this in order for your cholesterol to go down. So that was just one of the moments in my whole journey of navigating this so far, where I really felt judged by my outside appearance. Yeah. And even if we just like take a moment to think about, what do you think about? What type of person, what does a person look like who's unhealthy?
Right.
Chances are we all kind of have the same image in our mind because of what we've been told when growing up and being told that somebody who is overweight is unhealthy.
Right.
And we just know that's not true.
Right.
There are so many people who are overweight who are in perfect health. Mm-hmm. And then you have somebody like me who is tiny. I've been underweight in my life and my health has been very, very poor. So
I was just gonna say, you've had times when you've been underweight where your cholesterol has been super high.
Yes.
Right?
Somebody who's obese.
Right.
And I'm not sitting here and saying that having excess weight on the body is not harmful, because there are definitely risks that come along with having extra fat on your body or excess fat on your body. But there's also another side to that coin that says just because you have extra fat on your body does not mean you're unhealthy.
Correct.
So there's this really fine line. And
we as a society, it's so easy for us to judge how people look on the outside and think that means we immediately know what's going on the inside. And I think that this is a really important myth to dispel. Because I don't know if you've heard this before, but I could imagine somebody saying to you, you don't have to worry about what you eat. Look at you. And you have to worry about, you know, worrying quotes, or maybe not, maybe it really feels like a constant worry. I mean, you can elaborate more on that, but it's this sense of like, oh no, I am constantly thinking about how to fuel my body in the right way. And I just want to mention that in this time that we've been, you know, since the last time we talked about that, my husband was diagnosed with FH, and very similar. You could easily look at my husband and think that he's like super healthy. And this is definitely a condition that has been concerning to us, and it does run in his family. And I've had a conversation with both of my children recently about like, it's time, like this summer we have to do blood work and see if you also have FH. Mm-hmm. And it's scary because I think that people would look at my family in general and think that everybody's really healthy.
Absolutely. Especially with someone like you who's running the show, you know, like you as a mother who is constantly leading or modeling by example of what it's like to live a healthy lifestyle. It's so easy to look at your family from the outside and be like, oh, the Van Bells, no, they're fine.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's why I think this idea of like being honest and raw and authentic and transparent is so important, because so much of that narrative and that rhetoric, it's really just total like bull.
It is.
Yeah.
It totally is. And so in the past 6 months that we've taken our hiatus, I've also experienced kind of other health issues that have been rattling to me. So my liver enzymes elevated, and I went to see a specialist, and the specialist did all these tests and was concerned that I had autoimmune hepatitis, and then thought I had another injury to my liver. And then it turns out I had to get a liver biopsy, which was extremely terrifying. And, you know, there was a silver lining during that moment where around the time where I was having panic attacks about getting a liver biopsy, which, side note, is terrifying because they put a huge needle in between your ribs.
Ugh.
Just so scary. But I was having panic attacks about this. And during that week, I had 3 stray kittens find me. And I just took it as a sign from my mom, my guardian angels, my spirit team, that like, it's going to be okay. And I mean, that can be a whole nother episode, that everything, but I got through the liver biopsy. And it turns out I got diagnosed with another condition called primary sclerosing cholangitis, which is another fancy way of saying injury to my bile ducts. And there's no treatment for a condition like this. There's just maintenance, and it's just getting MRIs and something called fibroscans every 6 months or every year. Worst case scenario, I need a liver transplant. best case scenario is I don't need to do anything. So just another condition from the outside where you look at somebody and you're like, oh, they're totally fine. Charlotte doesn't drink alcohol. She has nothing wrong with her liver. And it's like, no, my doctor literally told me I might need a liver transplant.
I was just going to say, like, people might not know this, but like, you don't drink alcohol.
Ever.
Yeah, ever. So, yeah. It, you know, to think of like all the organs in your body that could be compromised, it would be, it's surprising to hear that, oh my gosh, you have to worry about your liver.
Yeah. And it's frustrating too. I know that we've talked about before being highly sensitive people. A lot of times we will get upset. Like, why do I have to worry about this? That person over there is going out drinking every single night, getting drunk, blacking out, and they have perfectly healthy liver. That person is eating cheese on every meal and their cholesterol levels are lower than average. Like, it can be very, very frustrating and very exhausting to navigate something that is internal like this.
And I just want to mention, like, that narrative that you just had, like, think about how that is like so counterproductive to your own mental health and wellness, because here you are like in this angry competition, right? Like in this like comparative space, that can, I just think it can be harmful, because it's kind of like, it creates this friction or this tension or in your body that like can be compounded over time, you know, like you can look at a picture of people happy out having a great time being like, oh, I can't do that. Like, that's like so ridiculous. Right. And it's like, you don't want to feel that way, but it's completely understandable if you do.
Totally. And just like going with that, look, say you look at pictures of people drinking and you're like, well, they're perfectly fine. You don't know that.
No, that's exactly right. Yep. And
it also brings me into like some part of this conversation that I wanted to offer is on the podcast. I've definitely talked about my framework, the four pillars of sustainable wellness, and it's mental health, physical health, spiritual health, and social health. And so here we are talking about how the way that somebody physically looks does not necessarily dictate how well they are inside, but it's the same thing mentally, spiritually, and socially, right? Somebody can show up completely fine on the outside, like how they're interacting with you. And they might be going through the worst depression hiccup or the worst anxiety attack. And you just don't know because they appear to be fine.
This conversation, Char, it's also making me feel like the importance of remembering how that people can look like they're showing up day after day and just, you know, smiling and looking great on the outside, but really be struggling on the inside. Like, I can speak for myself while grieving this past year. And there would be times when I could feel a little frustrated and I can be like, don't people remember? Like, don't people know that like I'm struggling and I'm going through a hard time? And you know, people stop checking in on you or people just kind of life just goes on. And it's like, well, yeah, of course people can forget that I'm grieving because I'm showing up every day and I'm smiling and I'm doing my job and I'm teaching. And, I'm sure to people, I look totally regulated and fine and calm. And it's like, they're not purposely trying to hurt me by not acknowledging how I might be feeling on the inside. The only way that anybody can really know how people's health is if they're sharing it like we are right now.
Absolutely. And what you just said, like about, you know, people stopping checking in, it reminds me so much of the first month anniversary after I lost my mom. I was in high school. And I remember that morning, it was April 15th, which marked one month since she passed. And I was eating a bagel and one of my friends came up to me and she's like, are you going to finish that? And she just like took the other half of my bagel and I cried for an entire period straight. Because I was like, how dare she steal my bagel? It's the 1 month anniversary of losing my mom. Meanwhile, on the outside, I was totally peppy and happy and being like, yeah, have my bagel.
She had no idea. No, right. Clue. Yeah. So that is like, it's like, whose responsibility is it to share? If you feel like you want people to really understand how you're feeling on the inside, then it's like, if you feel comfortable and safe and vulnerable enough to share, then you say like, you know what, I know how I'm feeling right now does not match, might not match how I look on the outside. Yeah. And I think you do such a great job of that. And I think that continuously showing up, having these hard conversations, I'm hoping it's like my hope and prayer that it leaves space for other people to do the same.
Me too. Yeah. I've noticed a lot since I've started sharing about FH on TikTok. I've had so many people in my direct messages being like, this is me. And then just describing my own situation. Just it's somebody else. So it's really validating to know that other people are going through this in different ways. But it's comforting.
Yeah. And it's that reminder that we really do need to remember, like, first and foremost, that we have to be kind because we really don't know what people are navigating. And I just know as yoga teachers that you and I have had situations where students have shared things with us just because either they feel safe and they want us to let us know, or they think it's important that we know what's happening with them. And we would, I don't know if shocked is the right word, but it's like almost like shocking to hear, because on the outside, people can look completely fine. What does fine even mean, as you know, but what we imagine fine looks like. And it's really easy for anybody to put on a brave face and to make it seem like everything's okay. And I hope that we're moving into this space where it's okay to say that we're not okay. It's right. Like, we don't have to act like everything is fine and that our health is perfect. And as I think it's really important that we're having this conversation as instructors of yoga and as people who show up in the mindfulness community and the wellness community, to say, like, just because I'm battling this illness does not negate my voice in this arena, right? Like, I still have a space here. You don't have to be perfectly healthy, like, right, physically, mentally, emotionally, to be able to help other people.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us, we get into this profession from having gone through something in our own life. Like, I am not a yoga teacher just because I felt like being a yoga teacher. I'm a yoga teacher because I was forced to become well from navigating this condition. Yeah. And I have a good friend. We have a good friend who is in the mental health field because she has dealt with some really hard, traumatic mental things. And so we're like you just said, we're warriors on the battlefield with everybody.
Absolutely. Right. And I know that I'm thinking about, like, the trifecta, the threes. Like, I know that you've also been battling a third health issue, which really, I mean, you know how I feel about this. I do think eventually at some point, they're going to figure out some type of autoimmune connection to what's going on with you, just because so many things happen in threes with things like that. But it's more what you're feeling day to day and how you can literally go through one of your episodes, and I'll let you talk about it in a sec. I don't want to try to put words into your mouth, and then show up and lead a yoga training or show up and lead a class. And people have no idea I know how you're feeling on the inside, but right. Cause you'll send me like your readiness score from your Aura ring, or like, let me know what happened to you. But people would be shocked to know what you had gone through. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'll definitely mention it. So I have a condition called cyclical vomiting syndrome, which I even hate saying because it just sounds disgusting. Oh, but it started in 2020 and I didn't have a name for the condition until a few months ago. And it's basically just
the first episode during the pandemic when we were quarantined.
It was, yeah.
I remember that now.
Yeah. I always just put it off as food poisoning. I was like, I ate something weird, but it would happen more and more often. And I have episodes at least once a month, sometimes three times a month, where something will set me off and I am just sick all night. And the next morning or the next full day, I really have to recover. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I can't recover right away because I have responsibilities. And one of my recent episodes, which you just alluded to, was, I was out of state teaching, co-teaching a yoga teacher training for the weekend, and the travel, like, overexertion is one of my triggers, and the travel overexerted me energy-wise, and I was sick all night, and then I had to wake up and lead a full day of yoga teacher training and drive home and travel home. And so it's just really sometimes debilitating. And I never, ever thought of myself as somebody who would have to deal with chronic illness. I even don't, like, I hear people now being like, I have chronic illnesses and I feel sorry for them. And then I remember, like, oh, like, actually same.
Why?
Yeah.
Actually, me too.
Very common. But it's really difficult to navigate. And I worry, you know, my wedding is coming up and I worry what happens if I have an episode the night before my wedding and my entire wedding day, I'm just exhausted. Or what if I have an episode the night of my wedding? And it's tiring to live that way.
Right. And from the outside, people would have no idea that you're having this battle. And that also the frustration of, like, when you think that you've identified a trigger, right? And you've, like, eliminated that food and then you put it back in and you're totally fine. And you're like, wait, was that it? Was that not it? Like, I know, because I've been going through this, like, with you, like, well, and it's like, I can't imagine that source of frustration, because you feel as though you're trying to take agency over your own health, right? But then there's just these external factors that you cannot control.
Yeah. And I think that's what this conversation all comes down to, is that we can only control so much of our well-being, and we do have to surrender to things that are just difficult and hard. And with that, there's also this reminder that we don't always have to be such a brave face as we go through it. Like, we can continue to show up, because that's how we build resilience. That's how we get stronger, is continuing to show up despite adversity. But at the same time, it's allowing ourselves to be supported and to be vulnerable in sharing what's going on, and to let the people that love us know that we're not necessarily completely okay.
Mm-hmm. And asking for support and finding, like we kind of mentioned in our first episode this season, like, the healing that comes from the storytelling and the healing that comes from the sharing and the healing that says, like, hey, like, please don't judge me from, like, what's happening on the external. Like, please don't assume that everything is easy, and or please don't assume that everything is challenging just by looking at me from the outside. Because listen, I might show up like a hot mess one day, but I might be really fine.
Like when moms go to the supermarket with 5 kids and somebody's like, you must have your hands full. And it's like, no, these kids are totally fine.
Yeah, they're like, no, actually, I'm good. I have it under control. But it's like we attach how we think the situation should go. We're constantly, as humans, we're constantly trying to make meaning of things and trying to make sense of our world. And how we make sense often of our own world is by comparatively, you know, making these comparisons to other people's world. So it's like, well, if I feel X, Y, and Z, then that person must also feel this way. Or, you know, I think this is how I look on the inside, on the outside, and that might not be at all. You might look completely okay. So I think this conversation is so important, and I hope that it's leaving space for a few things. I hope it's leaving space for us to all know we have room for improvement when it comes to being judgmental, all of us. And I think that I'm hoping that it leaves space for other people to just be a little bit more vulnerable and say, like, no, you can have multiple illnesses. I mean, you just described like three. One of those by themselves could be like cause for pity party. Like, woe is me. I can't believe I'm having this. And you have three like significant things that you are navigating and really just doing your best. And you said the element of surrender. I just hope it leaves space for people to be okay with what they're dealing with, mm-hmm. and what they're navigating, and any wellness pitfalls or diagnoses or whatever it may be for people. I hope that this conversation finds somebody who needs comfort.
Me
and
too.
Who needs to know that, you know, you can still live a well life, even though it might feel like your wellness is being compromised, or like, or you're battling, you know, like you're fighting for it, or you're, like I said earlier, you're fighting your genetics. It doesn't mean that you don't have a place at the wellness table.
It's so true. And like, one of our goals of this podcast is to remind you that you're not alone. Wellness isn't always easy, and it's even harder without community. Like that, those are words out of our mouth, and that's what this conversation just reminds us.
Yeah. So I hope that you feel comforted by listening to this, and it's really not like it might of course, because we're humans, people listening might be like, I feel so bad for Charlotte. And that's okay. You can give Charlotte some love, and you can, she is a warrior, and she is advocating, and she is spreading awareness. And you were actually really instrumental in my husband's diagnosis, because I was like, I think you have what Charlotte has. And it was through our conversations. And, you know, by sharing, we can like literally like save people's lives by having these conversations, and or making somebody feel like, oh my gosh, I think I could have that too. So thank you, Charlotte. Thank you for sharing. And we love you. And we know how strong you are, even though you've been bravely battling so, so much this year. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about your story, because I don't know, I feel like there's an answer coming.
I hope so. My fingers are crossed for that.
I really do. I feel like you have been doing so much introspective work, and also trusting doctors, and, you know, trying to figure this out. And even if there isn't an answer on the horizon, it's okay. But I feel like there's connections being made, and a lot of it is because you surrender to it, and you've just been so vocal and honest and open. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me the credit for that.
Yeah, and holding space for you always.
Absolutely. Well, more on this to come, more talking about medical stuff and medicine, yeah. All that good stuff to come. But if you enjoyed this episode, let us know. If it resonated with you, let us know. And thank you for being here.
Yeah. And don't forget, we have an email address now. It's podcaststrongertogether@gmail.com. You can get in touch with us. Let us know what you want to hear more of. If anything resonates with you, if you just want to share, if you just want to say hi, we would love to hear from you. And we'll be back with more. What are we going to be talking about in our next episode? We're not sure yet, but it's probably going to be connected.
Yes.
Probably. Order.
Well, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thanks. All right, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Bye.
We hope you love that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And yes. Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.